Seven Feathers Casino Studio, KQEN weather. In the Umpqua Valley, 30% chance of showers this afternoon. Partly sunny, high of 75. Partly cloudy, down to 53 tonight. On Tuesday, 30% chance of showers, mainly before 11. Then sunny and 73. Things start to warm up Wednesday, 83. Thursday and Friday, 86. And near 90 for both Saturday and Sunday of this upcoming Father's Day weekend. Right now, we're up to 68 in Roseburg. KQEN News Time, 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Most Mondays, we spend this time taking an in-depth look at COVID-19 topics. Always a lot of different things to cover as we work our way through this pandemic. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being with us again.
Well, thank you for having me again.
A lot of things we want to hit on today, but at the front end, how are the county vaccination numbers looking?
Well, the county vaccination numbers are looking better and better each week. This week, we added several hundred new vaccines, so we're a little over 53% of our eligible county residents who've gotten a vaccine.
Now, it seems like the county is lagging in that percentage compared to a lot of areas of the state, though.
So we are ahead of some areas, mostly in eastern Oregon, and we're just about the same as Josephine and Jackson, but quite a bit behind places like Lincoln County, Lane County, Multnomah County, and Hood River County.
And for those, and I hear it a lot from people who, for one reason or another, haven't gotten vaccinated at this point, aren't planning to get vaccinated. Talk about what you would say to those folks, and I'm sure you run into them as well.
I do. So I talk to vaccine hesitant people nearly every day. And some people are hesitant because they're worried. So I had conversation with somebody today who has a lot of allergies, and she's concerned about getting the vaccine and having an allergic reaction. And so we work through that, and I think she's going to get her first dose of Pfizer today, which is a good thing. So sometimes we can help people work through their specific concerns, and that's a great thing. Then we have people who are worried about stuff which doesn't seem to be real. The biggest thing that I hear, especially from young women, is a concern that this is going to affect fertility. There's apparently stuff on the internet that suggests that getting the vaccine could decrease fertility. There's nothing behind that. This came out a while ago. Somebody thought that one of the proteins on the placenta was similar to one of the proteins on the spike protein. They're really not. And we have good data from people who were in the original trials that their fertility seems to be just what it was before. So sometimes people have these kinds of concerns, and we want to work through it with them.
And if people have questions, I mean, folks can see anything on the internet, quite frankly. Is there a connection point they can make to someone at Douglas Public Health Network to maybe get some of the questions they might have answered?
Sure. I talk with people every day, so they can call me there. Probably best is to put questions in at facebookquestions@douglaspublichealthnetwork.org. What we'll do is not only answer their individual question, but spread that question with others, because anytime somebody has a question, there's probably somebody else out there with the same question.
And how often are you doing these Facebook Live presentations?
So we're doing them every Tuesday night from 6 to 7. If they look on the Douglas Public Health Network webpage, you can get right to it. And we do it live, so people have questions, we'll answer their question.
And so is it just once a week now?
We're doing it just on Tuesdays now. We gave our staff, who's been doing this over a year, we gave them the weekends off over the summertime.
For the percentage of folks vaccinated here in this area, how different is it around the country? I mean, are some regions more likely to get vaccinated? Is some smaller overall?
Yes. So New England has vaccination rates well above 70%. In fact, I saw today that Vermont is over 80%. And so they have a high vaccination rate and so very little disease. just a few cases a day in the entire state. And then other places in the country have relatively low rates of vaccination, especially in the South and in places in the Rocky Midwest.
Well, I get back to some of the issues regarding vaccine hesitancy in a bit here. I wanted to get an update, though, on the cases here locally in Douglas County. It seemed like it was a busy week with some high numbers last week.
It was a busy week, and especially busy over the weekend with a lot of numbers. We're still averaging about 15 cases per day, and almost all of those cases are coming in the half of the population that's not vaccinated. So when we look in a week, so we looked over the last 2 weeks, in each of those weeks, only one person was vaccinated. Over 100 people were unvaccinated. And so we're seeing really that vaccine is really quite protective, and that those people who are not vaccinated are getting the disease at a relatively high rate.
And I'm looking at the update for today that just hit my email box a few minutes ago. Saturday, 21 new cases and 3 new presumptives. On Sunday, 17 new cases, and going into today, it looks like the number finally dropped to 5 for today.
So we're having cases in various different places. Over the weekend, we had one at a residential care facility, but we're seeing it at workplaces, we're seeing it from social gatherings, we're seeing it from sports, especially basketball, and then we also have some healthcare facilities that have had some outbreaks.
And with looking around the state, it seems like our numbers overall are higher than a lot of other places in Oregon right now.
Right. So for much of this pandemic, we've been one of the lowest counties in the state and one of the lowest counties in the country. But now we're one of the higher counties in the state and one of the higher counties in the country. And when we look in Oregon, places that really struggled early on in Marion County and the Tri-County area, they now have much lower rates than we do and much higher rates of vaccination. Places in eastern Oregon that have low vaccination rates like we do are struggling with lots of disease.
So you would definitely say there's a correlation between the number of cases that counties are still having, that happening in counties with a lower vaccinated percentage.
Yes, because almost all the cases we're seeing are among the unvaccinated people. And if you have fewer unvaccinated people, you just have fewer cases. So when we look at our case rate, so the attack rate among people unvaccinated, it's as high as it's ever been. And then the rate among those people who are vaccinated is extremely low.
And that obviously has impacts on a lot of different things, not only the number of folks in the hospital with COVID-19, but also impacts on the business community as well.
It really does have a big impact. So, for example, when businesses have outbreaks, they have to quarantine their unvaccinated staff, and that can really throw a wrench into a business working. So we're really, really encouraging people to get vaccinated.
So in the state right now, are there other particular areas that are kind of hot spots like Douglas County?
It's Douglas County and Eastern Oregon. So Eastern Oregon, which doesn't have very many people, actually has some of the highest rates of disease of anywhere in the state.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer taking a look at COVID-19 related topics. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1244, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. On tomorrow's program, Roseburg Public Schools Superintendent Jared Corden will take a look at the school year that's just wrapping up and also what's available in education opportunities for the summer and a look ahead to how things, at least at this point, appear to be set up for this fall. It'll be part one of a two-part program. We'll be talking to the South Umpqua School District Superintendent Kate McLaughlin on Wednesday. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us this afternoon. So, Dr. Bob, nationally, as we see things opening up, are some states resuming the issue of having more cases?
Yes. So I saw today that 8 states now are having an increase in cases over this past week. Now, some of these are states that had very few cases before, but places like Wyoming and Missouri are a bit concerning because there are some increase in diseases there and a low background vaccination rate.
And are other states, though, we've heard about New York opening up. Other states doing fairly well?
Yeah, I think the New England states are doing great. When you look at Massachusetts and Vermont and New York, they're having very few cases and have been very successful at opening up. But they also have a much higher vaccination rate.
And do you think that is because of how bad things got there at the height of things last spring?
Well, at least part of it is clearly due to that. I mean, people can remember that just the horror that was last spring. As I've told people before, the hospital that I was born was a hospital called Wyckoff Heights Hospital. And that was the hospital that had this row of refrigerator trucks lined up down the street to collect the dead bodies. And that's just a heartbreaking thing. So I think people recognize that whatever they could do to get past this, they would do it. And so they've had much higher vaccination rates than some of the places like us that have certainly been affected, but affected so much less than New York and New Jersey.
As we look at other nations around the world right now, what are you seeing when it comes to COVID-19?
Well, we're seeing really a tale of two worlds here. So, again, the United States and Canada, relatively low rates of disease. But we're seeing a tremendously high rate of disease in South America. So South America, which has been battling this for almost a year now, has had incredibly high rates. And when I look at Uruguay, they have over 100 cases per 100,000 and have had that level for about a month now. So South America is really struggling. Africa is a country that's had very little disease early on. They're beginning to have an increased amount of disease, mostly of the 351 variant, which is a bit worrisome. And then Mongolia, for whatever reason. Mongolia, a country squeezed in there between China and Russia, that has a pretty good vaccination rate, is really struggling with the variants.
You mentioned one of the countries with 100 cases per 100,000 people. I mean, that would be like if we had 100 cases per day per 100,000 people, because that's about the population of Douglas County.
Right. That would be over 100 cases a day for a month. Think of that. And what they're seeing then is they're seeing that high hospitalization rate and a high death rate. So, for example, Peru said that they've had as much as 180,000 deaths. Peru's a small country, so that's a big worry.
What about things in public health that you're learning, you and folks in similar positions to you, are learning about this virus recently?
Well, this virus is very wily. It does mutate. We're starting to see the 617, which is also called the Delta variant from India, spread around the world. So you remember the UK had a lot of disease around Christmas time. They then got it under control. At that time, they had mostly the B117 or the Alpha variant. But now, almost all of their cases are the 617 variant. And so what we do know is that these things change and change pretty quickly.
And talk about the variants a bit more. I heard something over the weekend, I think it was, that some of the variants are coming from lab experiments. Is that accurate?
No. So the variants that are spreading are clearly coming from lots of disease spreading in an area. So, they're coming from India, they're coming from South Africa, they're coming from Brazil. They're not coming from labs in those areas. They're coming from lots of transmission. In the labs, labs will sometimes make variants, and that's how you make vaccine.
Now, as we work our way through this situation and look to the future, what kinds of things can we learn from the past 15 months from this pandemic to help us in the future and maybe hopefully avoid something else like this down the road?
Well, first, we should figure out where this came from. If this did come from an animal to a lab worker and then leak from the lab, we really have to get better about labs that are dealing with highly infectious stuff and even stuff they don't even know about. So that's the first thing. We need to sort of figure that out. The other thing is we need to get better prepared. In our country, we don't stockpile things very well, and so we really ran out of protective equipment and other things early on. We need to get better on that. And I think we also need to get better on data systems. Turns out that every state and the feds all have different data systems, and they don't talk very well. And during a pandemic, it's hard to fix that. But we really, once this pandemic is done, we should fix that. So for the next pandemic, we don't have to bother with during the pandemic.
And even what about just simple basic things that people should do better in terms of sanitization and hand washing and things like that?
Well, it turned out that hand washing, which early on was a big deal, probably did not make a big difference, but I think respiratory etiquette did. So I think people staying home when they're sick, wearing a mask if they're coughing or sneezing, and maintaining distance during a time when respiratory viruses are spreading are all good things to do.
What about local vaccination opportunities this week and in coming days?
Well, there's a lot coming up. Aviva has vaccines every day at their vaccination clinic, which is over in that area by the Costco gas station. It's a beautiful setup, and so people can go any day to get vaccines there. Most of our pharmacies have vaccines, and our big clinics like Aviva, Evergreen, and South River all have vaccines. In addition, we have this Tiger team. This last weekend, they were at one of the local breweries. This coming weekend, they're going to be at the Chainsaw Festival, and they just go out and give vaccine where anybody wants it. So we're really hoping that those people on the fence come off the fence and get their vaccine.
And I know that at least some weeks, maybe all, they're going to end up being out at Music on the Half Shell this summer.
And they are. We haven't finalized the details on that, but they're going to try and be out there for Music on the Half Shell. So come enjoy Music on the Half Shell. That's one of the great things that happens with Douglas County. So come out, enjoy Music on the Half Shell, and get a vaccine.
Now, as people go outdoors this summer, whether it's Half Shell or other things that are beginning to happen, what about cautions you would offer, and how do you need to think about it differently if you've been vaccinated versus if you haven't?
So outdoors is pretty safe. If you're vaccinated and outdoors, it's incredibly safe. So we're encouraging people to get vaccinated and do outdoor activities. So when you start getting indoors, when you start getting crowded indoors, the risk starts to go up. When there are more people unvaccinated, the risk goes up even higher. So it really is the balance, the safest things being outdoors, the vaccinated people who are separated, the most dangerous being a group of unvaccinated people together. So get your vaccine and enjoy the great outdoors. We have so many great events this week, this summer coming up.
A lot of things have been happening the past 15 months behind the scenes with the Douglas Public Health Network. What's a typical day like for some of the staff there?
So we started with about six staff at the beginning of this, and we've been up to as many as 30 people. So our teams meet every morning, and we talk about how things are going, try and give support to each other. There's a lot of nuance in the regulations, and we try and work through that. Then our case investigators call the people who've been diagnosed positive and then call the contacts of those people to help them through quarantine. We provide our press release every day. We have people manning our call center every day. And then we have people going out to deliver stuff to people so they can successfully be in quarantine. So, for example, many people after 4 or 5 days in quarantine are starting to run out of food, and we help to provide people with food. People who are diagnosed with disease and has need thermometers or pulse oximeters, and we provide those for people.
All right, Inside Douglas County wrapping up there with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.